A shroud of terror has descended onto the streets of Leicester, with Muslim residents of the English town living in fear for their very safety. Racism, cricket hooliganism, and violent street assaults, all targeting Muslims of mostly Pakistani origin, has become commonplace in this once peaceful city. Amid the hate crime spike, Press TV was informed by concerned locals that the attacks appear to be conducted by Hindu thugs radicalized by foreign extremism. At this stage, we cannot verify the political affiliations of the perpetrators. However, speaking to local Muslim residents, they've expressed major concerns that what might be inspiring this latest round of attacks could be Hindutva supremacism from India. The rise of anti-Muslim violence taking place over there could have a ripple effect affecting the Indian diaspora community, particularly here in the UK, which boasts a sizable British Indian community. Hindutva has become a significant ideology inside India, seeking to establish Hindu hegemony over the country. Many of its advocates preach intolerance towards rival religious groups, especially Muslims, who've become a prime target of India's Hindu extremist rhetoric. Local activists informed us that they believe it's the same Hindutva hate which has caused the rise in Islamophobia here in Britain.
The Muslims and the Hindus in Leicester have been getting along for decades. We've not had no issues. It's these latest crowds of these young Hindutva ideology thugs, RSS, the BJP thugs, this mentality, they come with this mentality, they're trying to bring it down here, and they're very, very racist, and they're the ones who are causing the problems in the community.
This year, at least three severe attacks have occurred, with at least two victims being hospitalized. The media has so far only focused on a recent outpouring of anger by local Muslims, venting their frustrations via scuffles with the police on Monday night. But if the alleged problem of Hindu radicalism isn't dealt with soon, Muslim vigilantism may become the go-to option for some furious locals. Robert Carter, Leicester.
It's been dubbed the most right-wing cabinet for a generation. Formed after new PM Liz Truss's fulsome support for her predecessor and a purge of defeated rival Rishi Sunak loyalists. Some of the familiar faces, Kwasi Kwarteng, a free marketeer and Truss's ideological soulmate, confirmed as chancellor. Ex-leadership candidate Swela Braverman, admired by the right-wing for attacks on, quote, woke politics, appointed home secretary. Staunch ally James Cleverly, promoted as foreign minister. On his entree, Ukraine and fixing relations with the EU, strained after Brexit, among other things. Close friend Teresa Coffey will be deputy prime minister and health secretary. The National Health Service is reeling under a staff and cash crisis. And another carryover from the Johnson administration, Jacob Rees-Mogg, the man who blamed the energy crisis in the UK on climate alarmists, will be business and energy secretary.
What we therefore have is a very clearly defined agenda, with Liz Truss surrounding herself by people she thinks will be loyal to her and will share some quite central policy objectives, which I'd suggest are sharper than those of her predecessor.
The makeup of the Truss team goes against her pledge to use what she called all the fantastic talents of the Conservative Party.
Liz Truss won less than 60% of the Conservative Party membership vote, and when she threw her hat in the ring for party leadership, she won fewer than a third of the Conservative MPs' votes, which means that she could have done herself a favor by trying to appeal to as wide a base of parliamentary support as possible.
Especially because she will need her party's support for her plans for her three priorities, the economy, energy, and the NHS.
So they might grumble in private, but they'll show the impression of unity in public. The biggest issue, though, for her is that if she does controversial things in legislative terms, which MPs think aren't going to work, then she could have problems.
The 56th UK Prime Minister takes up the reins of power as the UK toils under spiraling levels of inflation, skyrocketing energy costs, an economy almost certainly in recession, and public services on the brink. It remains to be seen if she and her cabinet can deliver on her promises. Saeed Purizap, London.
The The Seoul Defense Dialogue Security Forum addressed the North Korea issue Wednesday as leading military strategists grappled for a coherent policy toward Pyongyang. In South Korea, President Yoon Suk-yeol's hard line involves strengthening the U.S. alliance and bolstering military capabilities, including a potential preemptive strike.
Kill Chain will pre-detect North Korea's nuclear missile launch and be able to interfere with it, blocking any incoming nuclear attacks. And in order to prevent the worst case, we are intensively organizing the defense budget and developing military strategies to prepare a military retaliation.
President Yoon promised to normalize operations of the U.S. anti-ballistic missile system, THAAD, which was deployed in 2017, with new equipment brought in late Sunday night in an attempt to foil local protesters. Yoon has said he would like to deploy more THAAD missile batteries. At the forum, President Yoon's hard line was echoed by Japan.
There could be a lot of sanctions that would be imposed together with other countries, and there could be certain measures which some countries can do unilaterally, and it's a kind of a combination, but we have to share the same goal of urging North Korea to accept the terms. We have to figure out where it hurts most for the North Koreans.
Several forum speakers stressed coordinated sanctions, which have so far failed, yet offered few alternatives. Settling the issue of North Korea's nuclear and missile programs and ending sanctions against Pyongyang will require bringing North Korea to the negotiating table. But so far, the U.S. and its allies, South Korea and Japan, appear unwilling to provide much incentive for North Korea to re-enter talks. Also on Wednesday, the nuclear envoys of the U.S., South Korea and Japan met in Tokyo to coordinate strategies seeking to denuclearize North Korea. The U.S. repeated its offer to meet unconditionally with North Korea, while U.S.-led unilateral and U.N. Security Council sanctions remain in place. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Questions and answers. In Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss about the problems, questions and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor Salman Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University and also a researcher on the Islamic issues in the Hawza Ilmi Afkum. Well, in our last session, we reached the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he blesses parents with a child, it's an honor, it's a dignity, and child is an amana, it's a trust given to those parents. Now, how these parents can act as educators or trainers or life guiders for this child?
So, yes, exactly. That was what we wanted to say, that the worldview, the mindset has to be developed. They have to understand all of this. As I said, with this mindset of the unity of Allah Almighty in mind.
Yeah.
If that is not there, we cannot think of carrying out our practices and acts and behavior that we carry out on a daily basis for the sake of Allah.
All right.
The moment we want to say, oh, when if we will become spiritual when we go to pray, but we don't have anything to do with spirituality when we want to deal with our children. No.
Okay.
That tawheed, that understanding of monotheism has to permeate all the aspects of our lives. So when we're dealing with children, that's also with this mindset that this is for the sake of Allah.
All right.
For the sake of proximity to Allah. For the sake of carrying out things which are important according to Allah. And which have to be taken care of. That I want to give unto this world some a human being who is worthy of being called a human being.
Yeah.
Worthy of being called the manifestation of Allah's will.
Yeah.
And a sign of Allah Almighty in the true sense, an embodiment of Allah's attributes. So I myself have to prepare myself to become a good educator for him, a good role model for him or her. So I have to manage I have to be able, as we were saying before, that we should be able to manage the various relations that we have.
Ourselves first,
and become a good role model. We have to increase our knowledge, number one, about the whole scheme of things, as I said.
Okay.
And where we fall into that scheme, where do we fall?
Yeah.
What is our position as a human being and as a parent, especially?
Okay.
And then a parent and as an educator should know where he's starting from.
Yeah.
And where he wants to take his child to, which
right.
destination,
mm-hmm.
which, as we said, the starting point, ending point.
Yeah.
The starting point, the behavior, when a child comes into this world, of course, he hasn't got, he's a clean slate.
Yeah.
So he's starting from zero.
Yeah.
Allah Almighty says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيَّا. That Allah Almighty has brought you forward. Brought you forth into this world out of the wombs of your mothers, and you don't know anything.
Yeah.
You're a clean slate.
Sure.
And the destiny that is there, the goal which is there in front of you, it is infinite.
True.
Reaching Allah is infinite.
Yeah.
Allah Almighty says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn or the human or mankind other than for my worship.
Yeah.
And worship is achieving proximity to him. Worship is ma'rifah. Worship is being a competent actor of
to reach
good
perfection.
Deeds. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's and reaching out to Allah and becoming like Allah is something, because Allah is infinite.
True.
So becoming godly is becoming something.
Getting closer to him.
Closer
actually.
To him and infinite. So that is the goal for which we want
all
to
right.
create. So that's the starting point and that's the end point that
end
as human
point.
Being.
And
as
all
a parent,
these things are to be taken into consideration. I'll talk more on that with you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are discussing how parents can act as educators. Professor Nakavi, what you said to us was developing a relationship with Allah is the ultimate thing that parents have to be keeping in mind as they are educating their children, as they are bringing them. There should be an initial point, there should be an ending point. And it throughout this process, throughout this journey, when they are bringing a child, it should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, you know, parents today, we don't see this thing in them. I mean, if I am upbringing a child, I'm definitely trying to show off my neighbors what kind of school I'm putting him in. I'm not putting him in a very local school. I'm putting him in some very big school. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in our lives over here. What do you say about those parents who are competing, who are even playing with the lives of the children for the sake of what people say?
Yes, at the back of our minds, we certainly want to achieve perfection. As human beings, all of us are looking for perfection.
True.
We are looking for the infinite. We're out for the absolute.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because we do not develop that correct worldview and mindset,
yeah,
we deviate from the correct from the truth. We find the truth to be in things which are of a very temporal nature, of a very...
And at the end of the day, nobody is happy, neither the people you did things
for. I mean, you're going out for something which is going to end very soon.
Yeah.
I mean, popularity or becoming famous or becoming... Oh, people start praising you, glorifying you. You're looking for things which are like bubbles on the surface of and they're going to go away. As you progress in life, you find things very trivial. You work after very trivial things,
yeah,
which are gone now.
Yeah,
I mean, you want to eat, you love to eat ice cream. You love to eat. You go for the ice cream, eat it, then it's gone, vanished.
Yeah,
but when you progress and you find out, oh, I ate that ice cream. What happened then? What did I find at the end of the day? Nothing. So it's like this, that I'm spilling my water without knowing what I'm doing it for. If I'm going to waste my time and waste my child's time on things for the sake of other human beings,
yeah,
I mean, that's something like spilling water without any return from it.
Exactly.
So we have to, as I said, important, very important that we as educated parents, as educators, develop that proper understanding,
yeah,
understand the truth, understand what we have been given, what we have been entrusted with, what is the starting point, what is the end point, what do we want our child to achieve?
Yeah.
Not good numbers at the school, not good marks, getting a good...
amassing into, just degrees.
A good degree, a good house, I mean a good professional life. It's a vicious cycle. It goes on and on. Without any end in sight, because it's not, and you're not moving in circles.
Okay.
So basically, as I said, as educators, as parents and educators, we have to have the knowledge and the skills ourselves.
All right.
And then only we can.
And then only we can induce that. Also.
So I was talking about the knowledge that we have to have. I have to go on to this.
Exactly. I want to ask you the
knowledge,
same thing.
The attitude, and the skills.
We have been constantly discussing that parents need to have a set of
knowledge, skills
and knowledge.
So
and
I was just talking about the knowledge, about the,
general,
I mean, to
yeah,
develop the knowledge that we, from starting from the strategic higher level. When we talk about something which is of a higher level, we're talking about a strategic level. Then
exactly,
we come down to the lower levels.
Inshallah, we'll discuss all that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who recites the Quran before puberty has indeed been given wisdom in his childhood."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're discussing how parents can act as creators, trainers for their children. Yes, Professor.
So, we have to, as I said, start with the bigger picture,
yeah,
the worldview, ideology, then coming down specially to the aspect of teaching, training, educating in an informal way. We're not supposed to be formal teachers.
Yeah.
We're not going to conduct a class.
Formal teachers are already well in the schools.
I mean,
so we have to act different.
Our training, education is informal.
Yeah.
And it's the best issue is the role model that we have to become for them. But we have to know, as I said, starting point, end point. Then, as we said, there are six elements. We have to understand the child himself, child psychology, physical needs and requirements. We have to understand what a child is at different stages of life,
yeah,
whether he or she is in the womb. What are the, what is what how he or she is, the
yeah,
physical being or the emotional aspect of the child in the womb, physical, mental, and as he progresses or she progresses in life, from the time she is or he is in the womb till the time she or he is going to become an adult, at least till the time she or he is a responsibility that I have to take care of, till at least puberty, when she or he becomes
mature,
he becomes a person who has to carry out his responsibilities as a mukallaf.
Yeah.
Till the time he or she has not become a mukallaf, that she or he
the age of puberty
becomes
becomes
entrusted with the religious obligations that come upon a person, human being, upon becoming a complete adult.
Yeah.
So till that time, she or he is my responsibility.
Yeah.
So I have to take care of all those stages. So I have to understand what those stages entail, mentally, physically, emotionally, a child in the womb till the child when it comes to the stage of puberty and adolescence. That is a very, very tricky stage.
Yeah.
So at least I have to have some understanding of the child.
Yeah. So you're trying to say that since child is in amana and until he reaches an age of puberty, parents have a responsibility to take care of the child until he gains that consciousness when he has to carry out those religious obligations. Inshallah, what kind of knowledge parents need? We'll discuss more on that in our upcoming sessions. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IONIB English Radio for more interesting programs. Thank you so much for being with us. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
You're listening to Husseiniya from IRIB English Radio by Sayyid Abbas Rezavian. لبیک یا حسین.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیک یا ابا عبدالله. Peace and salutations be upon you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I send you my condolences. We talked about incorporating Ziyarat Ashura in our lives, our day-to-day lives. We said that first, a person needs to realize that the core of Ashura is bala, is a test and tribulation that Allah has placed for Imam Hussein. And that he even wanted Imam Hussein to come to Karbala with his family members, with his children, so that he could see them become captives to complete his test and to see what Imam Hussein would do. Alhamdulillah, with his patience, Imam Hussein amazed the angels. The second position we talked about was the position of grieving for Imam Hussein, the position of sorrow. You cannot expect to benefit from Ashura while you're very happy and very joyful during this time period. When you have huzn, when you have grief, when you wear black and you basically you're showing and displaying your grief for Imam Hussein, then you will have, inshallah, the mercy and the bounties that a musab, a person that affliction and calamity happen upon them, will receive. Third, we talked about the maqam of silm and the maqam of lan in harb, meaning that we approach Imam Hussein, we come to his tent, we take away all our bad actions, all our bad habits, and we do whatever Imam Hussein and his companions did. What did they do in the night of Ashura? They were praying and worshipping towards God. Therefore, we leave everything else from our hearts besides the worship of God. Once this is done, our actions are full of fulfilling God's commands. Our hearts are full of God's remembrance. We reach, as we do the dua in Ziyarat Ashura, that Allah gives us al-maqam al-mahmud, the praiseworthy station, the station of the Holy Prophet, the position of Imam Hussein. And it is then that we begin to truly enjoy life. And this is the effect of spirituality, this al-maqam al-mahmud. Brothers and sisters, we talked about living a good life, living a very happy life, having sa'adat, having felicity. We talked about managing our pains. We talked about being able to, from Ashura, manage our pains and inshallah maximize our joys, our spiritual joys. This is happiness. This is the definition of happiness. With spirituality comes great joy, we talked about. And this is the other side of ubudiyat. The effect of ubudiyat, the effect of worshipping God and following Imam Hussein, following the Prophet of Islam and following Imam Hussein, we learn that it also has effects. And when you think, when you want to have ultimate joy, whenever you think that God gives you trials and tribulations because you are His servant and He is testing you, you lean into your difficulties. You say, well, Allah has tested me, therefore let me pass this test. Then when Allah gives you pleasures, when Allah gives you a good life, you are worshipping Him, you are an abd of Him, you are a slave of Him, and you begin to fulfill things, your entire life becomes full of joy and full of nur and light because you are now His abd. Your entire life becomes, what does Allah, how is Allah pleased? What does He want from me? What is His command? What does He not want from me? What does He want me to stay away from? And this brings for you great joy that I am a slave of God. I am happy that I'm following His commands. This is why I have been created, to do taslim. Islam is the religion of submission. I am submitting to God. Therefore, I have intense joy, intense ladha that I am His abd. Once a person becomes an abd of Allah, it says you start to become like God. You become godly. Some of the divine powers reach you. As some of the traditions have, أَطِعْنِي فِي مَا أَمَرْتُكَ أَجْعَلُكَ تَقُولُ لِشَيْءٍ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Follow me, Allah says in this tradition, in what I have commanded you, and you will become like me. When you say, be, it is. Or in other traditions, Allah says in these traditions, Abdi ati'ni aj'aluka mathali or mithli. Follow me and obey me and I will make you like me. Meaning that some of those divine powers that God has, you will be given. This is the other side of ubudiyat. This is the other side of maqam al-mahmud. That we talk about, you do things for a purpose. You do it for to be a servant of Allah. But know that when you're a slave of Allah, it's not like being a servant of a human or servant of somebody else. When you became a servant of Allah, you become very powerful. And you get the divine powers of Allah. And you begin to enjoy life truly through bala, through lizzat, through calamity, through joy. All of it doesn't matter for you because you're a slave of God and you're just following and submitting to Him. And you're very happy because you're fulfilling the entire purpose of why you're created.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, while innocent children die. Hussein said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein.
Realizing and understanding the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam through nur and light. This is something that is very possible to do, and is something that has been done in history. We have in one of our traditions, a group of people from Yemen, a group of worshippers, good people, they came to the Prophet inquiring about his successor. So the Prophet gave him a verse of the Quran, and they kept asking, then who is this? Who is this Hablullah? You attach yourselves to the rope of God. And then they kept asking, and finally he says, basically go out in the lines of salat, in congregation salat, and find, you will find him yourself. See who your heart inclines towards. So they began to walk, this group of Yemeni worshippers. They began to walk and walk, and then they saw one person that they were sure that was their successor, the successor of the Holy Prophet. So they come back to him, and he says, is it him? And then the Prophet says, yes, you know, he affirms the fact that it is Ali ibn Abi Talib, it is Imam Ali. And he asks him, how did you know? And the Yemenis in this hadith, they say that in this tradition, they began crying and saying, O Messenger of God, we looked at the people, but our hearts did not incline to any of them. When we saw this man, our hearts trembled, and then our souls felt assured. Our eyes shed tears and chests became pleased, as if he was our father and we were his children. So these worshippers, they understood who the successor, who deserved imamate after the Holy Prophet. Who was the imam after the Holy Prophet, the guide, the leader, the guardian? And why? Through ma'rifat nuraniyat. That is how they did this. And then it says that the Prophet of Islam later on talked about how these people would follow and predicted that they would follow Imam Ali, and this was true. They continued and were loyal to Imam Ali, and many of them fought alongside Imam Ali against in the Battle of Safin, in the Battle of Jamal. They participated and were martyred in such battles. So this is a hadith that shows us that you have the ability to see and witness nur and light of imamat through your hearts. And when we reach this maqam al-mahmud, inshallah, that we see, that we said in Ziyarat Ashura, we connect to the imams with this nur and light, and we start, inshallah, becoming part of them and like them, inshallah.
In the limelight.
China is engaged in efforts to facilitate trade via the use of its national currency, and that's a good sign for the crowning of US dollar in the near future. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International Roads, Russia's energy giant Gazprom, agreed with China to conduct trade in yuan and rubles instead of the US dollar. It was reported on September 6th. The news once again intensified debate about whether the yuan will replace the dollar as the dominant global currency. While many economic analysts argue against such a possibility, this narrative is largely irrelevant. The Western narrative dismissing yuan from becoming the global currency is often based on default pro-Western cultural, political, and economic biases. Prior to addressing the yuan versus the dollar argument, it is important to be clear that the process of dollar's diminishing role as the global currency will take time. While the yuan is in the process of decreasing the dollar's dominance, it is not in a position to replace it yet. In fact, in the new emerging multipolar world order, it is highly unlikely that a single currency will dominate global transactions. The reason is simple. Currency domination is linked to political and military power. The US dollar emerged in a dominant role because of America's political and military expansionism. It had little or nothing to do with Washington's economic policies. China's prominence is primarily due to its economic performance, not military or political expansionism. Those who dismiss yuan in favor of the US dollar often bring up the term belief in the US economy. The dollar is backed by a belief in American global hegemony, which, according to many experts, is decreasing. It should also be noted that yuan is a relatively new currency. Until about 25 years ago, China's economy was not so strong. It was considered a third world country, albeit with a huge population that was seen as a drag on its economic growth. Today, China is an economic giant on the global stage. Its economic terms, yuan is a beginner, but because it is a currency of an economy with a massive manufacturing capability, there is something tangible behind the notion of Chinese economics. Thus, just like people believe in US economy, people have sound economic reasons to trust and believe in yuan as well. China is a leading trading hub for the world people. This automatically creates demand for its currency as well. It may soon evolve into a desire by people worldwide to have some yuans as well as insurance. Debate on the future of the US dollar should not be focused on the replacement aspect, but on how much prominence other currencies will gain in global trade. The NATO regime's economic war on Russia following its operation in Ukraine has once again demonstrated to many developing countries that these countries will not hesitate to weaponize many economic aspects of the current international relations system. This understanding has created a demand and a desire not to be dependent on one economic system or its currency. Asia Times also wrote, 2 years ago this month, China's Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin agreed to a financial alliance. It won little attention at the time. The pact to reduce their economy's dependence on the dollar seemed more aspirational, more rhetorical than tangible until now. As economist Ivan Teshakrov at Citigroup reports, yuan trading at the Moscow Exchange, Russia's largest, has surged more than 40-fold this year. What's more, he notes yuan dealing has now started to dominate trading in more traditional currencies. This is happening against the backdrop of fast declining trading in the US dollar. It would be intellectually dishonest to argue things unfolded exactly as Xi and Putin expected in August 2020.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Now, we will be, inshallah, practicing the first ayah to ayah 5 of Surah Al-Baqarah, okay? Now, let's listen to this ayat.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif Lam Mim. Zalika al-kitab la rayba fih. Huda lil-muttaqin. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
In the third ayah, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, I want Ali Nasir to recite this. Then inshallah we'll have a short explanation about this ayah. And then we'll go on for practical practices.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
أحسن ما شاء الله. So I'll recite once. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
أحسن. Okay. So الَّذِينَ refers to المتقين. Okay. The God-worthy people. Those who fear Allah Almighty. Those who have taqwa, virtue. Okay. Those who are pious, actually. We say in English. Okay. So what does taqwa mean? Taqwa has a lot of meanings. Okay, it has a broad meaning. So very shortly, I can tell you what I've understood from taqwa is this: that taqwa means to have Allah's remembrance always with you, to remember Allah Almighty always. For example, God forbid, okay, you're going somewhere, maybe you're about to commit a sin, remember Allah Almighty. This is called taqwa. Okay. Or whenever you want to, for example, do a good thing, okay? Remember Allah to do that good thing for the sake of Allah Almighty. This is also taqwa. Taqwa means to do good things in for the sake of Allah Almighty, to avoid bad things for the sake of Allah Almighty. This is called taqwa. The easy meaning of taqwa, okay? Taqwa is like a brick. Brick, you know? Like a car has a brick, yes? So you're moving too fast, you're speeding up, okay? So when it comes to, for example, red lights, okay? Break.
I have a question.
Okay, stop there. Otherwise, you will be punished. Yes?
Is avoiding sin like a good deed?
Yeah, avoiding sin is
sawab?
A good deed. Yes. Of course. If you avoid sin, okay, you will have the reward. The reward of avoiding sins. Okay? So, now, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So the attributes that Allah Almighty is explaining, those who are muttaqin. Who are muttaqin? Number one, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. You know unseen? The world which we have not seen yet. Close your eyes. You see a lot of things. You see a lot of things that you cannot see them with these eyes. But when you close your eyes, you can see them. Right? For example, I'm just making an example. So the unseen is this, that we don't know about that world, okay? About the hereafter, okay? يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Maybe it refers to what? To the hereafter. So muttaqin are those who believe in the hereafter. So nobody has seen the heavens. Nobody has seen the hellfire. Have you seen? We have not seen the hellfire. We have not seen the paradise yet, okay? But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seen, okay, and he has told us about them, okay? Now, muttaqin are those who believe in the sayings of the Prophet, what Prophet has brought us. And it has a lot of other meanings. But, so one thing, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ and وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. What does it mean? Who maintain?
Prayer.
It means who always care about the prayer. Okay? Our teacher once, he was saying that there are some people, okay, that for the Fajr prayer, they are trying to make a golden Fajr prayer, okay? To pray a golden Fajr prayer. We said, oh, this is going to be a very good one. Golden prayer, okay? I want to do this. I asked my teacher, what is that golden prayer? How can I do this? He laughed at me. He said, golden prayer? I mean that people do not pray at the exact time, in the first time. For example, Adhan announces, they do not pray at that time. They are sleeping, okay, in the morning. They are asleep. Then when it comes, when it's about to sunrise, okay, they go, do ablution, do wudu, okay, and they start. First rak'at is before the sun rise, okay? The second rakat is after the sunrise. This is called golden one. So, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This is the third attribute of muttaqin. That وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend, okay, their savings, they spend what they have, okay, in the way of Allah Almighty. They spend whatever we have given them. Allah Almighty gives us money, okay? It comes from Allah Almighty. The blessings, the rizq, okay, the food, the meals that we have, all from Allah Almighty. The knowledge that we have from Allah Almighty, it is, okay? So, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spread this, okay?
هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ يُوَحِّدُنَا لِطَرِيقِ الْخَيْرِ يُوَجِّهُنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْزَلَهُ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُعَلِّمُنَا وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُعَلِّمُنَا هَذَا
الْقُرْآنُ. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So that's a short explanation about this ayah. I think it was a long one. But let's go to the tajweed rules in this ayah. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ, the first important point that you have to remember, Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider, and Hussein Ruhullah, okay? You should remember that الَّذِينَ, pronunciation of الَّذِينَ ذَال, ذِينَ يَمَدِّ, الَّذِينَ, and also starts with Alif, Hamzatul Wasl, yes? الَّذِينَ starts with Hamzatul Wasl. What was the rule for Hamzatul Wasl?
If it is in the beginning of ayah.
Yeah, if it's in the beginning of an ayah,
we will recite it.
You got to read the Hamzatul Wasl. So it's pronounced. But we had different cases. Sometimes we put a kasra on, down Hamzatul Wasl sometimes, a fatha on the top sometimes, a dhamma on the top. But we recite it this way. Al-Ladina. With a fatha. Why is that?
Because after the Hamzatul Wasl, we have Huruful Shamsi.
The sun letters, sun you
letters.
Mean?
Yeah.
That's great, but that's not complete answer. Even if we have moon letters, we put a fatha.
We have tashdeed.
Even if we don't have tashdeed, we still put a fatha on the top.
Because of the word's meaning.
No.
That dal is from the sun letter.
Doesn't matter. It is a sun letter or it's a moon letter. Okay, doesn't matter.
What about lam?
No, it no. The thing is that if any word starts with Hamzatul Wasl plus Lam, Al, Lamu Ta'rif, okay? The defining now, Lam. So you put a Fatha on the top. Surah Al-Fatiha starts with Alhamdulillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then Alhamdulillah. Alif Lam, yes or no? Hamzatul Wasl and Lam. So Al, that's it. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Al-Ard, As-Sama, any word that starts with Hamzatul Wasl plus Lam, any word that has this Lamu Ta'rif, you put a Fatha on the top, okay, Hussein? Okay?
Yes.
And read it. So now, Hussein Ruhullah, read it.
Al-Ladina yu'minun.
Yes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
أحسن. Now, Ali Nasir, do we have any other alif lam or no? Hamzatul Wasl plus lam. Do we have any word having Hamzatul Wasl and lam for what?
والذين
again, yes. Huh. In the next ayah. No, in this ayah.
بالغيب.
بالغيب, yeah, we have. Bilghaib. You read it Bilghaib because you joined the previous letter. That's why you skip Hamzatul Wasl here, yes?
Yes.
But, what if you do not read that ba? What if you start from the word Ghaib, Alif Lam plus Ghaib? How do you read it?
Al-Ghaib.
Al-Ghaib again. Easy. But whenever you join the previous words, with that word having Hamzatul Wasl, you skip Hamzatul Wasl. Bilghaib, right? That's it. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, okay, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, aha, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, you join يُقِيمُونَ with Salat, yes? So here Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. So if you read the word Salat with Alif and Lam, how do you read it?
As-Salat.
As-Salat. What if you stop here? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. How do you stop?
Ta marbuta. Change to ha.
Ta marbuta changes to ha. Yes. And?
Mad ar dhill sukun.
Not actually.
No?
No, the haraka that I mean. The haraka of ta marbuta will be changed to?
Ha sukun. Plus sukun.
Yes. So, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِمَّا. We have mim. I told you once, mimma it is actually, yes?
Yeah.
So here is, we have ghunna here, and also idgham. Mimma razaqnahum, razaqnahum, qaf, sakin, qutb jad letter, what rule is applied?
Qalqala.
Qalqala. How do you say? Razaq.
Yes.
You say it?
Razaqnahum.
Razaqnahum, ahsan. Yunfiqoon. Nun sakin plus qaf plus fa.
Ikhfa
is applied. Ikhfa is applied. Yunfiqun. Now listen to this ayah and repeat after me.
Al-lazina yu'minuna bil-ghaybi wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun.
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
أحسن. Thank you so much. Inshallah, in the next session, we will be talking about the next ayah. Let's recite a salawat and we will be back, inshallah.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.